America. Won't you come in? I want to talk to you about how this country is going to hell in one great big burning handbasket. Oh, Juan?
Sí, señora?
I don't know how you did things in Mexico, but, por favor, no agua so close to the Audi.
Oh, lo siento, okay. So sorry.
I don't know what we do without him. American family values and the nuclear family are essential to our society. But an atheist who hates the U.S. of A. is leading us straight into 10,000 years of darkness, as he threatens to take away our freedom to praise God, makes a mockery of full, sweet, heterosexual sex, and kills helpless unborn. Dennis! In some states, life legally begins as 2 weeks before conception.
A little privacy, Mom?
And this is your father's.
Ah, shucks.
Mom? Gee whiz! Do you ever knock?
Sally, electricity and water are a recipe for disaster. And with abortions and birth control being handed out like Tic Tacs, is it any wonder God made rapists so virile? Who are women to think that they can make decisions about their own bodies? That these social issues are more important than the economy, and that they're 100% equal to men.
Mom, I think I discovered Nevi when she did stem cell research.
Alice?
Oh, nuts.
And thanks to that cum-loving Kenyan president of ours, the sanctity of marriage is being raped, legitimately, forcing Christians to witness the spreading of homosexuality like lube on my asshole, like sands on the shore.
Little darling. Mm-hmm. And if same-sex marriage is legalized,
what's next?
We do. Not on my dime, Mr. President. Not on my dime!
It only hurt a little the first time.
Hello, sir. I'm here to pick up your daughter, Sally.
Sally, your driver's here.
I'm not a driver. I'm her boyfriend, George.
She was raised by a single mother.
Aw, jeepers, Mom. What is wrong with you?
Girls obedient.
Now you head out there. You make as much money however you have to, darling.
You clean up this mess and make me an excellent dinner.
No. We work hard to provide for our family. And V. Hussein also wants us to foot the bill for birth control, Big Bird, and butt sex. Will you join me in telling other people how to live their lives the way God intended?
I met her in a club down in Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes like Coca-Cola. C-O-L-A, Cola. She walked up to me and she asked me to dance. Her name, and in a background voice, she said, Lola.
If you sleep with your rifle, you will give your rifle a girl's name. Because this is the only pussy you people are going to get. Your days of finger-banging old Mary Jane Rottencrotch through her pretty pink panties are over. You're married to this piece, this weapon of iron and wood, and you will be faithful. Hard hit. Prepare to mount. Mount! Part! Pray!
This is my rifle. There are many like it, but this one is mine. My rifle is my best friend. It is my life.
I must master it as I must master my life. Without me, my rifle is useless. Without my rifle, I am useless.
I must fire my rifle true. I must shoot straighter than my enemy who is trying to kill me. I must shoot him before he shoots me. I will. Before God, I swear to decree. My rifle and myself are defenders of my country. We are the masters of our enemy. We are the saviors of my life. So be it, until there is no enemy, but peace. Amen.
Our air. At ease. Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Hit it, sweetheart.
Sir, aye, aye, sir.
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
This is for fighting. This is for fun.
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
This is for fighting. This is for fun.
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
This is for fighting. This is for fun.
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
This is for fighting. This is for fun.
This is my rifle. This is my gun.
This is for fighting. This is for fun.
And the American people don't wake up. It's unbelievable that after 2006, anti-war demonstrations disappeared. Well, you know, because of what the United States did with Indian people, America then became the role model subsequently for Hitler's treatment of gypsies and Jews and Poles and gays and homosexuals. And then South Africa adopted the reservation system and apartheid because of the example of the United States. This is all written history. Because Hitler wrote about it when he was still in Austria. So that the United States of America knows how to treat the lesser human being. I forget how he put it, with the human beings that do not deserve equitable treatment. So unfortunately for the other peoples that suffer, America was the role model of concentration camps. I know the Japanese did it, and, you know, the Japanese were not treating American soldiers or any prisoners badly until the United States, this is a little known fact, the United States started sending the Japanese to concentration camps in Western United States. So, too, is factor. It's not an unknown tactic about the scorched earth policy. I mean, that was done throughout empires. In fact, that's how you rewarded the soldiers. Keep them fighting. They got all the loot and the women, I think, you know. So, Sherman tactic in the South wasn't new, very effective. It's called terror. And so he came out west to try to employ that same thing.
Well, obviously we have a rapist in Lincoln Park. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So you need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, because they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy. We got your t-shirts and the left fingerprints, and all you are so dumb. You are really dumb, Korea.
The man got away, leaving behind him
evidence. I was attacked by some idiot in the project.
So dumb, so dumb, so dumb. So she's climbing in your window. She's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband. Because they're raising everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess. We're looking for you. We gon' find you. We gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy, homeboy. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up. Trying to break them. So you need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
He tries so desperately to hide his love for me.
Stresses me out, and not just because I have to sleep on a twin mattress that I never even fit on when I was in high school. You see, I'm from Texas, and in Texas, you show up fancy to Thanksgiving dinner, just like the pilgrims and Jesus did. So in this episode, I'm going to show you how to put together the best outfit for Thanksgiving dinner. Pants. You got to wear them. As I found out in what's still referred to in my family as the Thanksgiving we don't talk about. Black jeans are a good option because they're jeans, but also they're black, so your mom might not notice they're not slacks. Although she probably will. Make sure they have stretch in them. Just because you're dressed up does not mean that you won't eat until your body is literally overflowing with mashed potatoes. Pick a shirt that does not show your boobs whatsoever. Not even a hint of boob. Think about how much you want to see your family's boobs. Okay? That's exactly how much they want to see yours. So be cool. You can also help us out with a jacket, which will impress your mom because no one's going to come to the table with a jacket. Win-win. shoes. You don't need them. Your mom doesn't want you bringing the street to her new rug, and you don't want to wear heels on the carpet. So everyone wins. There you go. The perfect outfit to wear while eating a dead bird with your family. Happy Thanksgiving, one and all.
They want to hear the Thanksgiving song. All right. This is a Thanksgiving song. I hope you enjoy it.
Love to eat turkey. Love to eat turkey.
Oh, I love you.
Love to eat turkey. Cause it's good. Love to eat turkey like a good boy should. Cause it's turkey to eat. So good.
That clapping's messing my head up, man. I appreciate it. But I was trying to think of the next line. I'm like, all I hear is clapping. Here we go. Thanks anyway.
Turkey for me, turkey for you. Let's eat the turkey in my big brown shoe. Love to eat the turkey at the table. I once saw a movie with Betty Grable. Eat that turkey all night long. 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. Turkey lurkey do and turkey lurkey dap. I eat that turkey then I take a nap. Thanksgiving is a special night. Jimmy Walker used to say dynamite.
That's right.
Turkey with gravy and cranberry. Can't believe the Mets traded that old strawberry. Turkey for you and turkey for me. Can't believe Tyson gave that girl BD. Ooh, white meat, dark meat, you just can't lose. I fell off my moped and I got a bruise. Turkey in the oven and the buns in the toaster. I'll never take down my Cheryl Peaks poster. Wrap the turkey up in aluminum foil. My brother likes to masturbate with baby oil. Turkey and sweet potato pie. Sammy Davis Jr. only had one eye. Turkey for the girls and turkey for the boys. My favorite kind of pants are corduroy. Gobble, gobble, boo, and gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey only cost a nickel. Oh, I love turkey on Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Obama announced he will address the nation tomorrow night to explain his official decision to grant a Thanksgiving Day pardon to Cranberry, the official bird chosen for the 2010 National Thanksgiving Turkey presentation. The two-hour speech entitled The Obligation of the Just will lay out President Obama's 35-point argument for keeping the turkey alive, citing historical precedent and over 2,000 statistics about turkeys. The president considered all potential points of view before deciding to spare the turkey's life.
This is no rubber stamp turkey pardon.
pardon. The president did not bend to political pressure when making this decision. He knew that no less than a turkey's life hangs in the balance.
The president labored for the last 6 months over whether to spare Cranberry, enlisting 55 staffers to investigate its personal background by visiting farms and interviewing those close to the turkey. Joining us now from Washington is Jane Carmichael. Welcome, Jane.
Hi, Andrea.
Now, Jane, the White House has released the president's notes pertaining to the pardon, including his personal decision-making flowchart, right?
Yes, really, he wanted to be confident he was making the right choice.
Understandable.
He even spent 4 hours one-on-one with Cranberry to assess its moral character.
Now, the White House says President Obama also reached out to Republicans, but I'm hearing they were unwilling to collaborate,
correct? That's exactly right. He invited both parties to a conference at the White House, but the talks broke down around hour six when a frustrated Mitch McConnell said, "Oh my God, just do whatever," and left the room.
Now, Jane, looking at tomorrow's schedule, we understand that he has canceled the public ceremony.
Yeah, he absolutely has, Andrea.
Really?
President Obama felt that a festive atmosphere featuring songs and the Thanksgiving pageant performed by the Girl Scouts did not fit the solemn import of the event, in which, quote, "the scales of justice will be once again checked to ensure the rights of all Turkey."
All right, Jane, thank you so much for keeping us posted.
Thanks, Andrea.
This song's called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Pasha's a dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road. And off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile is better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. Said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking over for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So he got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on. He said, shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car, and that's what we did. Sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in a newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They were taking plaster, tire tracks, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 colored glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, the southwest corner, and that, not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obie said he was going to put us in the cell. Said, kid, I'm going to put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obie, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for? And it said, kid, we don't want any hanging. Said, Obie, did you think I was going to hang myself for littering? Obie said he was making sure, and friends, Obie was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, and have an escape. Obie was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obie on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obie came in with the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obie stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures. And the judge walked in, sat down with the CNI dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obie looked at the CNI dog. And then the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the CNI dog. And then at the 27, 8x10, colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, because Obie came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice, and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't going to look at the 27, 8x10, colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against them. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. Got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in and sat down. Got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Because I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all times of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. And I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. Kill! 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 And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill! Kill! And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill! Kill! And the sergeant came over, pinned the metal on me, set me down the hall, said, you're our boy. And you feel too good about it. Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they were doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they wasn't leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I when finally came to see the very last man, I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, what do you want? He said, kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested? And I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacre, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that, and then all the phenomena stopped me right there and said, kid, did you ever go to court? I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one and stopped me right there and said, kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid. And I walked over to the bench there, and there's Group W, is where they put you. If you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime, and there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench there. Mother rapers. Father stabbers. Father rapers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one, it was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime fighting guys was sitting there on the bench. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things. And he sat down next to me and said, kid, what'd you get? That I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage. I said, what were you arrested for, kid? And I said, littering. And they all moved away from me on the bench there and carry eyeball and all kinds of mean, nasty things till I said, and creating a nuisance. And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we were talking about on the bench. And everything was fine. We were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up and said, kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 sentences, 58 words. We want to know details of the crime, time, crime, and else kind of thing. Got to say, pretend to about the crime. I know the rest of the officer's name, and else kind of thing. You got to say, and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. And I filled out the massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine. And I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, in parentheses, capital letters, quotated, read the following words. Kid, have you rehabilitated yourself? I went over to the sergeant and said, Sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on a Group W bench. Because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug. He looked at me and said, Kid, we don't like your kind. And we're going to send your fingerprints off to Washington, and friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folders, and study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is because you may know somebody in a similar situation. Or you may be in a similar situation, and if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do. Walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in and say, shrink. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they're both faggots and it won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Alice's restaurant anti-massacre creed movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar. With feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. Here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. That's horrible. There's one end warning stuff. You gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud. Or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again, and this time with four-part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around, is what we're doing. All right now. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant, accepting Alice. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. They walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.